with the Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton. One of the biggest obstacles to dealing with the problem of climate change is that it will not impact everyone equally. Even if temperatures soar, coastal cities are flooded, and drought makes water supplies dwindle, the rich will still be able to turn up their air conditioning, jet off to Aspen, and pay a few more bucks for bottled water. And it's these millionaires and billionaires, like the current occupants of the White House, who control the levers of government in the United States and other countries, and decide whether or not we should change our fuel consumption or lifestyles. Meanwhile, the people who will suffer and die from global warming are the poor, who don't have air conditioning when temperatures hit 104 degrees, who live in older urban areas like New Orleans or Baltimore beside the rising waters, and who will be powerless if their food and water becomes too expensive. This is one of the insights of author Brian Walsh's new book, End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World. Here's Walsh.
Wealth is a very powerful insulator, and when poverty is something that exposes you quite literally to the elements. And while it'd be very nice to think that we're all in this together, we're all going to suffer equally, that's simply not going to be true.
This political problem is compounded when those in power, like the Trump administration and congressional Republicans, are wedded to a political philosophy that does not believe in using government to help the poor or vulnerable. According to this ideology, government should serve the so-called job creators and stimulate the growth of business, and then free market competition will take care of everything else. Here's Walsh again.
The knock-on effect of that is that it really, I think, limits the ability to come together as a world to deal with something. Because quite literally, I mean, they can live in their air-conditioned mansions, they can move to different places, they can buy more expensive food, whatever you want. And so the idea that they'll be impacted in the same way and therefore be motivated to change is just not very likely. And then lastly, the reality here is that wealth is directly connected to being responsible for this problem. The wealthier you are, most likely, the more energy you're using, traveling around, more homes, things like that.
Because this ideologically driven political gridlock is preventing any real efforts to reduce greenhouse gas pollution, Walsh believes the inevitable solution to climate change is through technology instead of regulation. He argues that humans will eventually cool the planet not through stopping the burning of fossil fuels, but instead through what is called geoengineering. For example, a new industry could grow in which fleets of airplanes are paid to spray sulfur dioxide high in the atmosphere to create a chemical umbrella that would block some of the sunlight. But the flaw in this plan is that we could never stop.
And there's actually a very evocative term for that. It's called termination shock. That's the term for basically what would happen if you start a solar geoengineering program for some time. You know, you keep putting carbon into the atmosphere. You're keeping temperatures down artificially, essentially. Then let's say it stops. It could stop for any number of reasons. It could stop because there's an accident. It could stop because there's a war. And what happens is that you get the cumulative effect of all that carbon that's been put into the atmosphere all adding up at once. You get very fast warming, very hard to adapt to. That would be deadly.
So geoengineering would not really be a solution at all. It would just be polluting more to try to temporarily cover up our old pollution. The only real solution is changing the nature of our government itself so that it's designed not to serve businesses and billionaires, but the average people who feel the heat. With the Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project, author of The Chesapeake in Focus. This program is sponsored by the Able Foundation. The views expressed are solely my own.